Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehr Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And let's not talk about Donald Trump, at least not much, and at least not first. The new administration is on its way in, and last night, President-elect Biden gave a major COVID policy speech with his first concrete proposals, and you couldn't miss the big 180 change in tone.
We will never, ever give up. And we will come back. We'll come back together. We didn't get into all this overnight. We won't get out of it overnight. And we can't do it as a separated and divided nation. The only way we can do it is to come together. To come together with, as fellow Americans, as neighbors, as the United States of America.
And that's just the tone. Acknowledging the problem is bad, not saying it will just go away and people should live like nothing's wrong. Here's one of the specifics with the new tone baked in.
More than one in five Black and Latino households in America report they don't have enough food to eat. This includes 30 million adults and as many as 12 million children. It's wrong. It's tragic. It's unnecessary. It's unacceptable. So we're going to extend emergency nutritional assistance for 43 million children and their families enrolled in the SNAP program through the rest of this year. We'll help hard-hit restaurants prepare meals for the hungry, provide food for the families who need it. We'll invest $3 billion in making sure mothers and their young children have the nutrition they need. This will not only meet our moral obligation we have to one another, but it'll also spur our economic growth.
And here's one more for now that the outgoing administration would only spin as a positive, but the incoming one sees as more complex.
There is real pain overwhelming the real economy. One where people rely on paychecks, not their investments, to pay for their bills and their meals and their children's needs. You won't see this pain if your scorecard is how things are going on Wall Street. But you will see it very clearly if you examine what the twin crises of a pandemic and this sinking economy have laid bare. The growing divide between those few people at the very top who are doing quite well in this economy and the rest of America.
Yes, Wall Street is doing well, hitting record highs, but the bigger picture is more complex. Biden is proposing a $1.9 billion relief bill. Therefore, he plans to announce specifics of 100 million vaccines in 100 days. That plan's coming out today. He's also announcing inauguration plans in the midst of more National Guard members coming to D.C. than the combined total of U.S. troops in Afghanistan, Syria, and Iraq today. With me now, New Jersey Congressman Bill Pascrell, Democrat from New Jersey's 9th District, from right across the river, from Upper Manhattan, out to Paterson, and down a little north of Newark. Congressman, always a pleasure. Welcome back to WNYC.
Well, Happy New Year to you, Brian. It's great to hear your voice. I haven't talked to you since mid-August, and a lot has happened since.
A little bit. So what did you think of Biden's speech last night, tone as well as substance?
Well, I thought not only were the particulars outstanding, and not shying away from the problems, but addressing them and going big. International and, I would think, national economists, what I've read, have been very, very progressive about this particular time in our history. We can't go small. We're talking about our own people, and we're talking about a pandemic that we need to get ahead of, and that's the only way to make sure we have a growing economy. I think Biden's listened. I think Biden is going to have a refreshing voice. And the fact that he's talking to the country, and so is, by the way, the vice president, the vice president-elect, Harris, she's been talking around the country too also. So these are going to be two folks who are not going to leave us hanging as to guess or guessing about policy. They're going to be firm in their convictions. That's what they ran on, and that's what they have to deliver.
You know, the Washington Post reports on critics from the left and right after the speech and proposal unveiling last night. For example, from the left, Mark Wolf, head of the National Energy Assistance Directors Association, said he was disappointed the proposal didn't include more money for rental assistance or low-income energy assistance. The article says there was little immediate reaction from congressional Republicans, but Congressman Kevin Brady, Republican from Texas, was one of the few to issue an immediate reaction, saying Biden's proposal, quote, does nothing to save Main Street businesses, get people back to work, or strengthen our economy.
Well,
your reaction,
Kevin,
to either?
Yeah, Kevin Brady usually takes the line with the least amount of controversy. I'm very saddened by the fact that as the ranking member on the Ways and Means Committee, he's chosen in Biden's gasp before he raises his hand in a solid program that he has put forth on many issues. I'm very saddened that Kevin has chosen the Republican way of the past 4 years, and that is dismiss it. Dismiss it. They've dismissed everything. They've dismissed the appropriate actions to the crimes committed by the Trump administration. They've chosen always to be silent whenever he goes off the track, and that's been many times. Well, we're not going to put up with that anymore. We have a new president. We have a new way of life. And Kevin, this has nothing to do with Democrat or Republican. This is a place we are at in the great history of the United States. You know, where was Kevin and where will he be? Where would he have been in 1776 or 1861 or 1941? These great loyalist Republicans who embarrassed themselves voted against impeachment. That vote will be in the first paragraph of all of their obits. Had these Republicans been around in those 3 years I mentioned, America wouldn't be here. You and I wouldn't be talking about this.
Bill Pascrell, Congressman, Democrat from Northern New Jersey, my guest. We can take your phone calls for him on any of these things. 646-435-7280 from inside or out of his district. 646-435-7280, or a tweet, a comment, or a question at Brian Lehrer. Let me stay on that economic piece. Republicans tend to be okay with big budget deficits when there's a Republican president for things like wars and tax cuts, not right. So much when there's a Democratic president for things like relief and stimulus. But this is a lot of borrowing. $1.9 trillion on top of the $900 billion just approved, on top of the multi-trillion dollar previous relief bills. How do you know the cure isn't worse than the disease, ultimately, for Americans' pocketbooks? Biden made the case in one of the clips we played that the big food relief portion of this package, he said, this will not only meet our moral obligation we have to one another, but it will spur economic growth. Can you make that case?
I agree with Joe Biden. I believe in his perspective. I listened to him during the campaign. While he didn't bang the drum before he spoke, like his opponent, the point of the matter is it made sense and it was reasonable. It was calm. It's been well thought out. And I think it makes a lot of sense. Look, if we're at war, Brian, then let's do what our responsibilities, follow up what our responsibilities are in a war. War is a very different period of time. It means sacrifices from everybody, and everybody's making sacrifices. And if we don't make the ultimate sacrifice, then we don't want to be in the war, and then we might as well surrender. I've never surrendered since I've been in the Congress, and I am not going to surrender now to any pandemic or any attempt to insurrect or undercut the people's will. And if I don't stand up, then I'm not worth the paper that my oath is on. And so I'm going to continue to stand up. I think Joe is at a home run. I think he's going to talk with us. I almost felt, Joe, yesterday, Brian, that I was at a fireside chat with the president of the United States, like mayors usually do. I think it's boots on the ground is always the best approach. I think the American people, many of them have been let down by their leaders, feel left out. Joe is not that kind of a leader. Joe is a kind of leader who will make the decisions, but will make us part of those decisions as well. This is a whole different ballgame, what I think, Brian.
So, Congressman, I've raised so far Joe Biden and coronavirus relief, and we will get to the inauguration and safety in D.C., which I set up in the intro, and the ongoing domestic terror threat. You know what 3/4 of our tweets and phone calls appear to be about? Vaccine availability. So here's
my office, the same thing.
Via Twitter, listener writes, where and when can we get a vaccine shot in Bergen or Passaic County? Everything else does not matter at this moment. What do you say
well,
to that
I understand. And you know what? This is a question of life and death. And I think what that's most personal is your health. That's the most personal thing about you. The present president has screwed up royally in not putting a national policy together. He first called it a hoax. He second called it a hoax. And thirdly, he said, don't worry about it. It'll be over just like that. You won't even know it. So having said that, that's enough of him. We want something positive. I think President-elect Biden has put that in front of us. I think it makes sense in terms of resources. In terms of delivering, we've had a problem of delivering the goods because we don't have enough people trained. We certainly didn't prepare for this. We've had 9 months, and we've been all over the ballpark. We've had we've had fights between the doctors who know what the hell they're talking about and political leaders who are simply conjecturing. My guide on all this is Fauci. I think he is a real hero, like all of our first responders. He's a first responder in chief. And I think that if we would have listened to him from the very beginning, we'd be a lot further down the road and saved a lot of lives. Isn't that significant? Isn't that important to us rather than a political victory here or there? This is more important. And I'm telling you, I believe that he's going to take this by the real handle and bring it home. But that's what I believe. I believe in Joe Biden. I believe that he'll do the job.
But that's down the road a little bit. In the meantime, the failure is on the federal level, it's on the state level, it's on the local level, from everything I can tell. So where can that listener get a vaccine in Bergen or Passaic County, and how can the rollout be stepped up?
Well, you have to make an appointment, of course, get on the list so that they will call you back. There is a state number you can call that, you know, the state's on duty every day. I think they're trying. They know that it's a failed process that got us to this point. But we cannot only talk about the failed process. What are you going to do about it? We've got to train people to provide these vaccines, to inject them into our arms. We need to have enough people to do that. And we need to have enough places where people can go. And there are those places that was listed in the paper the other day in the Jersey papers about where people can go to get these vaccines, but they got to register. And that's the first thing you need to do. Second thing I would do is go to the internet and look at what the state is suggesting you do to get registered. And then they will call you when the time comes for you to get your vaccine.
Danusha in Patterson, you're on WNYC with your congressman, Bill Pascrell. Hello, Danusha.
Hi, I just want to thank Congressman Pascrell for voting to impeach the wicked man in the White House. And I also want to extend sympathy to him and all the other elected officials who suffered on January 6th.
Well, thank you for your thoughtfulness and pray for us. We went back that night, last Wednesday, and we said we're going to finish. I don't care how long it takes us, we're going to finish. And we did, 4 o'clock in the morning. At 4 o'clock in the morning when the vote was over, we went walking back through the dark nights of Washington to our apartments, wherever we put our heads down. No one said that this was going to be easy. No one puts a gun to your head and tell you to run for office. This is part of what we're doing. And you can't always be business as usual. These are unique times. And it means that everybody's got to do something to help the situation, not just politicians. Because if only politicians do it, it ain't going to work. I've been here long enough to say that. I mean it clearly. I mean it succinctly. Everybody's got to do something in here to make the situation better.
What do you have in mind? What do you have in mind from your side of the aisle?
Well, you know, we're doing the things that we need to do. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. We're trying to make it easier for people to get the vaccine. And at the same time, we know we have obligations of accountability. And if we skip those accountability issues, and if we did not bring up the question of did the president violate the very basics of the Constitution, then we should be replaced, all of us. And I said I led the fight in the Congress, and I was not successful, not to seat the 126 who were involved in this undercutting of the Constitution, who were involved in trying to suppress the vote, who were involved in trying to change the vote with no evidence whatsoever. I read the decisions of the judges in all 56, 57 cases throughout the country in each of those states. The Republican judges were more severe about their comments than so-called Democratic judges. So the system can work if we have faith in it and we do our part and not expect it to do it without us holding people accountable.
So hopefully the Senate can do both at the same time. That is, do policy like emergency COVID relief and mounting 100 vaccines.
I mean,
and,
you know,
100 million vaccines.
Mitch's got to make a decision.
Well,
he's got to make a decision whether he goes forward or stand or marches in place.
Well,
he's got the ability, smart guy. Will he cooperate? He's not going to be the commander in chief of the Senate after next Friday. But the fact of the matter is we're going to need his votes and we're going to need him to be there to make sure this is a fair trial. We want it to be fair.
Are you afraid of emboldening Trump for the future and making him look like more of a martyr to Republican America if he is acquitted a second time by the Senate and he can say vindicated twice, witch hunt, when without this he would have sunk into maybe not obscurity, but being widely discredited by the American people?
No, I don't think that's the way. You have to be accountable. Look, the House concluded that he had violated, and they impeached him. The Senate had nothing. Well, we're used to the Senate under Mitch McConnell. We're used to the Senate that he didn't bring up chosen nominee,
Merrick
Obama,
Garland,
for the Supreme Court because there's only a little time left. Well, you know, the hypocrisy of that has been exposed. We've got to do what we have to do. And I am proud. I mean, I first remember there was a discussion, Brian, that maybe Biden in his comments in September and October was telling people stay off. We got to go to a new chapter. We got to forget about this. I would disagree with that 100%. And I don't think that's what Joe was talking about. I thought he was saying simply let's stay with the facts and evidence. And that will not get us in trouble. That will never be an excusable situation. We have to do what we have to do. I've called for the prosecution of the president after he's the president because there are states that are going to have examined him, have a record, are going after him as well with his taxes and with a lot of other things. He's not above the law. He thought he was. He thought he was the beginning. He had the beginnings of an autocrat within government. And I am sorry, no one is above the law. And we got to convince those folks in the hidden places throughout the United States who have retreated and feel that no one really cares about how they think. We have to get them to understand it's important how they think, that we need to sit. That's what you should be pushing now, not violence in Washington, D.C., where you're scaring the hell out of the population and gaining what? And gaining what?
We'll continue in a minute with Congressman Bill Pascrell. And Congressman, when we come back, I'm going to ask you about your New Jersey delegation colleague, Congresswoman Mikey Sherrill's claim that it looked like Republican members or a member was giving a reconnaissance tour to people the night before the riot. And if you have any further information about that,
sure,
stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with Northern New Jersey Congressman Bill Pascrell. As I said before the break, you know, your New Jersey delegation colleague Mikey Sherrill says she saw what looked like Republican members, or maybe it was just one member, I'm not sure, giving a reconnaissance tour to people the night before the riot. She used the word reconnaissance, which makes it sound like they were enabling people to get ready to know the inside of the Capitol to try to take it over. She's still investigating if it was that. Do you have any information?
Well, I know Mikey Sherrill, Congresswoman, right by my district. Congressman Sherrill is a patriot, served in our armed forces, was a helicopter pilot, came to the Congress in a very difficult district and won because she told the truth. I think it's worth looking at what she saw, what other people saw, what they heard. I signed on to her letter, a few of us did, and I believe that we need to take a look at this to see if anybody betrayed the Constitution. We need to look very closely, and she demanded an investigation in her letter. And if it's true, those people should be tried for treason. I saw these people being led around by Congress people. That's the only way you can get into the Capitol that day on the 6th. And I had my own suspicions because they were dressed to go to the insurrection the next day. They were dressed. They were dressed for it. And they weren't afraid to let you know what they were in Washington for that day. They weren't there to look at the statues in Statuary Hall. But they were looking for information. There's no two ways about it. Now, that doesn't make them guilty of anything. But if they consorted, if they dealt with other members, actual members of the Congress, in order to lay out directions how to get to this place and that place, then we got a major problem on our hands. But we'll never know the answer until we investigate it. So I believe that this is very serious stuff to see who's in cahoots with the mob. We need an exhausting review. I believe that's necessary. And I think that we should do it and have the 14th Amendment, Section 3 in mind, and that's dealing with the question of insurrection and sedition. And I believe that many of the congresspeople themselves, when they voted to continue this hoax into whether the election was rigged or not, when we have the very words of Republican and Democratic judges throughout the United States of America, and to insist upon that without the evidence, I think is an act of undermining the government. Well, no question in my mind about sedition. And I don't want to sit next to somebody who wants to overthrow the government, maybe not by hitting somebody over the head, but trying to change the numbers on an election. He won the popular vote by over 7 million votes, for crying out loud. And he got 306 votes in the Electoral College, as many as Trump got in 4 years ago, which Trump himself called a landslide. What the heck you think Biden did? To win the popular vote by 7 million votes? You got to be kidding me. It was obvious that they were taking their orders right from the top. These congressmen would never consider, did not have an open mind about it at all. I listened on the floor as to whether there should be we should certify Joe Biden. And you want to know something, Byron? What really ticks me off from Paterson, New Jersey, what really ticks me off is you didn't give the guy a chance. You demeaned him. You made fun of him, Sleepy Joe. And you did everything you can from distract to it, from his win, earned, hard-earned, particularly during the pandemic when campaigning was very different than it has been in the past, obviously. Joe Biden is a great citizen of the United States, and he'll make a great president. Give him a chance. Show him respect. And I guess it starts at the top. When Mr. Trump decided that he wasn't going to respect him, his followers felt that that was a touchstone for them not doing anything in behalf of Joe Biden either. That's very, very, very sad. But did it bother Joe Biden? He's working every day. He's trying to make the situation better and not simply throw gasoline on it. Impeachment is not gasoline. Impeachment is accountability.
Andrew in Essex County, you're on WNYC with Congressman Pascrell. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm following in the news over the last few days that Nancy Pelosi ordered metal detectors be placed at the entrances to the House or whatnot. And it was reported that initially a number of Republican representatives were angered by this, protested it, and in some cases refused to go through the detectors, to the point where Ms. Pelosi is reported, I read, to have required a fine be put in place if folks do not comply. I'm wondering whether your guest today can shed some insight as to why, what rational basis, is there any legitimate basis for anybody, based on the current climate, surely a representative of either side, to refuse to go through a metal detector? I can't think of a
metal. Many of these metal detectors are already there, my good friend. Many of we just added to them. And I believe it was the absolute proper thing to do in view of last Wednesday. I think the last thing we got to do is make it more available or make it more easy to try to hurt somebody with a weapon or without a weapon, with or without a weapon. I agree with her 100%, but they are just as defiant with the metal detectors, many of them. I'm not talking about one or two. Many of them, as they were with masks. You saw how three Democratic congressmen picked up the virus in that room. Am I 100% sure? I'm 99% sure. When they had a lockdown, when these characters were walking, were pushing their way through to the capital of the United States of America. You saw that. And they refused to put on their mask, even in that situation. Bonnie Watson Coleman, Brad Schneider, for instance, picked up from that situation the COVID virus. When you're not thinking of anybody else's health, you're not thinking of your own, really, and you're just mouthing. So I'm telling you, I agree with Nancy Pelosi 101%.
Republicans are saying there's a double standard for Democrats when it comes to denouncing violence against the Capitol last week, which should be denounced, they say, of course, and during looting or taking over part of Seattle, say, last summer. What's your response to that?
Well, that is part of the racial protocol of many people on the far right. I've been talking since 2008. In both the Bush and the beginning of the Obama administration, that we have let extremism go to the nth degree. We have not curtailed it. What we have done is enabled it. And so I'm talking about racial. It's down deep. It's down deep. I saw and heard what those guys and gals charging the Capitol, I heard what they said. I heard what they said in muffled tones, and I heard what they said shouting and screaming to the earth and to the sky. And I am telling you that there are people who want to see destruction and have no purpose whatsoever in what they're doing. I'm very saddened by that. But I'm willing to listen to them. I'm willing to sit down and talk with these people. Are they willing? Or have they so clouded their reason that they believe they're 100% right. You know, there are some people who believe they're 100% right. There's some people who believe they're above everything and have all the answers.
Are
and they're
not
all
you,
Republicans.
You want to have, wait, who is it you want? Are you saying you want to have dialogue with violent white supremacists?
Yes. I got a job to do. I'm not afraid.
One more call.
And once we shirk our responsibilities, we feel, those people feel totally left out. That's what how they got here in the first place. And they've narrowed their focus on a quote-unquote savior. They've narrowed their focus on a savior who's going to bring them to the promised land. This is not Bruce Springsteen. This is reality here. This is where we need to look at one another. As God gave us the ability to do that and take advantage of looking at one another and talking to one another. We've got to. We can't just ignore people who have so many insidious ideas in their mind that they're shunned by the rest of the population.
One
That's
more call.
Work.
Darren in Longmont, Colorado. We've got about 30 seconds for you. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, hi, Brian. Thanks for everything you do. Actually, I just wanted to talk about the actuarials basically say each person's worth like over $10 million if they die. And basically, we could borrow over $10 trillion to cover that. And with the low tax rates, we would be paying basically nothing for the money. So I don't want them to spend, and I want them to spend before the Republicans spend it on their corporations and a few people at the top. And I want the hypocrisy to have a punishment to it, because this is, we just let hypocrisy go. They can be, and they call themselves Christians when they're for this death cult. All right, I'll leave it there.
Darren, thank you. Congressman, 30 seconds.
Brian, it's an honor to be on your program. You are in the light of Peter Zenger. This is what journalism is all about, and we need more of it. And we need the people who we detest right now to be on your show. Not to make fools of themselves, not for me to make fool of myself, but to talk and dialogue about this. We are not going to do this ourselves. We must do this with the perceived enemy right now. We must move on. And this is not Democrat and Republican. This is accountability. This is what we all should want from our government. Let's, you know, just move to Russia. Get it over with. Thank you, Ryan.
Northern New Jersey Congressman Bill Pascrell, thank you so much. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Much more to come.